Jeremiah, Isaiah, Zephaniah, Malachi, and Micah this month. If you don't know where those are in the Bible, ask your children. They know their books. I was thinking, I remember being a child and I learned the books of the Bible with a little song. I still sing it in my old age. I still sing it to find the Old Testament books. It was not nearly as cool of a song, though, as Devin presented today. This is much more hip. So this week we're going to start with the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah 33 is the lectionary text for today, starting at verse 14. Let's look at the word of God. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Jesus Christ. Take us deep into your word, Lord. Open the scriptures to us so that we might find a word from you for our lives today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Good. It's good to shout amen every once in a while. Yeah. Let's shout amen. So the progress has begun on the holidays. The holiday season is upon us and we are making progress. I went to visit a friend and she already had her tree up and decorated her home. And I said, how beautiful her home looked. And she told me, she said, Jan, it's a work in progress. A work in progress. And it made me think that really from Thanksgiving to Christmas, it's all a work in progress, isn't it? From Black Friday till Christmas Eve, our work is really not done. We make our lists, we check them twice, we schedule our calendar, we pick our recipes, we make our plans, and we just keep going. I mean, really, for most of us, and maybe you already have the tree up and the lights outside, or maybe you don't. But really, for all of us, we don't stop until Christmas Eve. We don't take a breath until that last gift is wrapped and on that final night where we can just breathe. Until then, we're just like little Energizer bunnies, little Christmas elves that just keep going. That's what this season is like. So you may know this. You have 6 extra days this year. You do. Can't you tell? All right. The earliest Thanksgiving can be is November 22nd, which it was this year. The latest Thanksgiving can be is November 28th. 6 days less. Guess what? Next year, 2019, November 28th. So you have 6 more days this year, so you better enjoy it. Enjoy it while it lasts. So the promise. We chose the image of a glass blower. I love this video. It's one of my favorite videos that our team has done. This image of a glass blower. Because if you think about any artisan, any craftsman, an artist, they have the finished product in their mind. And they're working all along. It's a work in progress until it's completed. And that's how God is, our Creator God. This whole Bible, from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, it is a work in progress. It shows God's perfect and beautiful plan for the creation. And it is ongoing. God is lovingly bringing it to completion. And we live in the in-between times. Advent is an in-between time of year. Advent is the Christian New Year. Do you know that? New Year is not on January 1st. It's on December 2nd. So Happy New Year. It's a new year for the Christian season. And Advent is this in-between time of year. It's when we're not counting down the days to Christmas. We're looking forward to the fulfillment of God's promises. So Advent is in between two big holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas. Advent is in between two big seasons, autumn, end of autumn and the beginning of winter. Advent is in between two very important seasons, the end of Razorback football and the beginning of Razorback basketball. We're in the in-between times. Advent's in between the end of one semester of school and the beginning of the next one. It's the in-between times. But that's really not what Advent's about. Advent is in between what was and what is to be. Advent is in between what has begun, but what is not finished yet. It's in between God's promises and God's fulfillment. It's between the incarnation, the birth of Jesus Christ, God's presence in the world, and the promise of Christ's return. That's where we are. And as Christians, we live with a foot in both worlds. And it gives us hope. Now, the prophet Jeremiah was preaching to people who understood what it meant to live in the in-between times. Because they were a people in exile, and they were waiting for the promises of God to be fulfilled. In 587 BC, Jerusalem was sacked by the Babylonians, and the people were sent into exile in Babylon. And they longed to go home, and they knew they needed a savior. In their city, Jerusalem, the temple was destroyed. The very presence of God in the temple was destroyed. The homes were torn down. The line of David, the kingly line of David, was pretty much all but abolished. Everyone was almost completely gone. Corpses lied in the street, unburied, because the exiles had to leave immediately. And to have corpses in Jewish law, that meant everything was unclean, defiled, impure. The city became a wasteland, uninhabited. And Jeremiah preaches into this, and he preaches a promise of hope and restoration for the people. He preaches God's presence, Emmanuel, God with us. That God has not abandoned you. God is with you, and God is sending a savior. In the exiles in Babylon, they long. This is the longing. Their longing is what we tap into during the season of Advent, because it's our longing. If we will let ourselves feel this longing, that we know, yes, in our lives, we need a savior. In our world, that we look around and see how imperfect it is, how broken it is, we know we need a savior. And we long for the presence of God in our lives. Because the presence of God is really all that matters as we go through our days. And we cry out, come, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit, come into my life. God with me, Emmanuel. Oh, come, Emmanuel. I decided one day last week to run out and do a little shopping on my lunch hour. Just to quickly go into a store and just quickly pick up a few extra items for our Christmas tree. That was a big mistake. I think everyone in Fayetteville decided to shop on their lunch hour at the same time. I can't tell you how many church members I saw in Hobby Lobby. And the aisles were so jam-packed, you could not really walk through them, let alone push one of those shopping carts. I mean, it was really crowded. But everybody is really festive. They're all in a good mood, and we're helping each other pick out ornaments for one another, meeting strangers. But while I was in the long line of shopping and checking out, I heard the music playing. And you know, the stores, they play Christmas music this time of year. And they play Christmas music because it gets us to spend more money. It puts us in that mood. And there's a lot of Christmas songs that we're familiar with. There's a lot of reindeers and Good Saint Nick and White Christmas. But then, every once in a while, there's a Silent Night and a little town of Bethlehem. O come, Emmanuel. And we're so used to the words, we've sung them our whole lives, we've learned them from childhood, we know the words, that sometimes we forget what they mean. We forget that they really are the prophets of old, Jeremiah and Isaiah and Micah and Malachi, and that they've been fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ. And that Christ is coming back. O come, Emmanuel. I remember one time one of my daughters, she said, you know, the first line of O come, Emmanuel, I said, what does that mean? We all know it. We sing it. O come, Emmanuel. And ransom captive Israel, who mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Who are they talking about? The exiles in Babylon. That's who's mourning in exile, captive Israel, 500 years before Jesus Christ. And they're longing for what? The Son of God, the Messiah, to come and to save them. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, which means God with us. God, the very presence of God, will come to you. And Jesus Christ is the very presence of God come on earth. We need a Savior. So let's look at the prophecy in Jeremiah. Prophecy of the Messiah. Jeremiah 33, verse 15 says, in those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. David's line was pretty much abolished, yet Jeremiah is saying, there'll be a sprout. Out of the stump of Jesse will come a king. All throughout the Old Testament, the prophet said it'll come from David's line, born in the city of David, Bethlehem. And that this king, born in David's line, will reign forever. This is not an earthly king with a limited number of years to reign. It's a reign forever. And the people knew they needed a savior. Jeremiah 33:16 says, in those days, Judah will be saved. Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called. Some translations say he will be called the Lord, our righteous savior. This prophecy is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And we hear it first from the mouth of an angel Gabriel. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary, a young virgin, and says in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, the angel says to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. The fulfillment of a 500-year-old prophecy. And then the next thing that happens, the Lord comes to Joseph, her betrothed, in a dream. And it says, this is the prophecy fulfilled, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But just when he had resolved to do this, Joseph, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, which means he saves. For he will save his people from their sins. Old Testament prophecy fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ. And then John Wesley, the founder of Methodism in the 18th century, in his commentary on Jeremiah 33, in the verse which says, he will be called the Lord our righteousness. John Wesley says, there is no such name, the Lord our righteousness, anywhere given, either in Jewish or Christian tradition, and that the full import of that name is spoken only of Jesus Christ the Messiah. And of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, Lord of all. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Christ is our righteousness. So you and I, we live in the in-between times. We are like the exiles. And if we are paying attention, we're going to realize that we need a Savior. And that this is our temporary home. That this fallen humanity, that this broken and polluted world has so many good things and so much love in it, but it also is filled with hate and violence and suffering. It's because God's not finished yet. It is a work in progress. So we need to decide, as we're in this in-between time, because we're going to have struggles and worries and concerns and setbacks and difficulties. That's part of life. But we need to decide where we're going to put our hope. Are we going to put our hope in the things of this world? Are we going to hope when we see all the world things going on? We're going to trust the political structures of this world, the Democrats will fix it, the Republicans will fix it. Are we going to trust in the technology of our world? We'll give it over to Google. We'll rely on Apple or Androids, Samsung. We're going to trust in one or the other. Where's your hope lie? Is your hope lie in yourself, in all the things that you could do? But God's not finished with us yet. God's not finished with creation yet. God's not finished with humanity yet. God's not finished. Thank God he's not finished with me yet. God is still at work. And because of that, we have hope. Hope is a powerful thing. Hope changes things. They've proven that people that have hope survive longer. People in concentration camps, people with cancer, people in slavery, people that have lost a limb, people that are struggling with depression or living in poverty, when they have hope, they survive longer. When people have hope, they get well sooner. They return to their life more quickly because of hope. And Christians, we hope differently than the rest of the world hopes. Advent is, this first week of Advent is about hope. And this Bible that we have from beginning to end is a story of hope, because God is not finished with you yet. God is not finished with your life yet. You are a work in progress. And it's like giving ourselves over to the potter and the clay. It's to give ourselves over to let God work on us. Are you ready? Are you willing to really give over your life to Jesus Christ? Are you willing to say, Lord, I can't do this without you. I long for you, Lord Jesus. I long for you to come into my life, into my heart, change me. Take a hold of what's going on in my life, my circumstances, and transform it. In that, we have hope. Let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, God be with us. Come in these times that are in between your coming and your return, Lord. We need you. We need a Savior. Come, Lord Jesus. Save us. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, transform us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.